Es liegt ein Unheil in der Luft. Ich fühle es tief in meiner Brust. Ich helfe ihm doch oh so gern. Und doch bleibt ständig das Gefühl, dass er wohl niemals kommt ans Ziel. Und weiß er, wie sehr
Dit is geen uitzending van Glorie de Mensheid.
Geen uitzending van Glorie der Mensheid. Dit is geen uitzending van Glorie der Mensheid.
Dat zijn schitterende dragers ter vooruitgang op het pad niet achter te kijken. Omdat zij niet over de voorhoede der voorzichtigen struikelen. En verstrikt raken in de verwarring der ongehoorzamen.
Vreest niet en wees verheugd. Dit is geen uitzending van Glorie der Mensheid.
Rundvlees, dus daar weten ze wel raad mee. Vooral als je er van die leuke Oostenrijkse knappe bolletjes in doet. Die is trouwens ook van Royco.
Nou, één keer in de week halen we Chinees. En met deze oriëntaalsoep van Royco vind ik het lekker compleet. Stokbrood. Zakje bruine bonensoep van Royco. Toch iets lekker warms als je geen tijd hebt voor ingewikkelde toestanden.
Je maakt het met Royco.
De maaltijd wordt met zorg bereid. Daarbij hoort Becel voor bakken en braden. Omdat het direct smelt en dicht schroeit en een lekkere jus geeft. En omdat we bij onze dagelijkse voeding even stil moeten staan bij het belang van voldoende linolzuur. Leef bewust in het belang van uw hart- en bloedvaten. Becel hoort daarbij.
We switch you to the state capital.
Wow! Over Affenblad!
The governor.
Wow, es ist wirklich ganz toll.
In conjunction with the federal government, declared this state to be a disaster area.
I was sent to keep you here until they come
to kill me.
And evacuate the streets and the areas under attack. Get to underground shelters. Do not drive in your vehicles in your area.
Vampires, alive among the lifeless, that make the night hideous with their inhuman cravings. If they are not destroyed in the flaming pits of hellfire, or staked to the ground in the light of the sun, will the unbelievable become real?
Mr. President, they
a
have
world
a
of inanimate zombies by day, irresistible, horrifying attackers by night. Can a zombie woman hunger for love repopulate the earth?
Findest du es, Junior?
Super, komm schon, beeil dich, Dad! Wow, über Affenbein!
Sind wir also und fangen ein neues Leben.
In diesem Viertel bezahlt man Einzugsgebühren.
Du musst jeder von uns $10 geben.
20 People? Von mir kriegst du nicht einen einzigen Penny.
Und du wirst tun, was ich sage. Wiedersehen und viel Glück.
Ja, ich hasse sie einfach.
In 1905, a scientist, Fritz Schaudin, made one of the most important medical discoveries of the century. He discovered the Spirochaeta pallida, the germ of syphilis. Syphilis, the greatest plague of modern times. The positive identification of the syphilis germ was the first great step toward the conquest of this devastating disease. As a mason builds a house stone on stone, so science builds knowledge on knowledge, bit by bit. Only a year after the discovery of the syphilis germ, Bourdais and Wasserman developed and gave the world the first blood test for syphilis. Syphilis could be diagnosed. Then, 4 years later, in 1910, Paul Ehrlich, in his 606th experiment, produced salvarsan, now called arsphenamine. This drug, when injected into the body, kills the syphilis germ. Ehrlich's brilliant success crowned the achievements of Schaudin, Bourdais, and Wasserman.
These men had the biggest, most successful. These men had the biggest, most successful business in the world.
Bishop has been liquidated.
You won't find it on any stock exchange.
Okay.
But the branch offices are everywhere. These men are the kingpins of a crime network called the Organization. It's so powerful, nothing can stop it. But there's one rebel cop who's gonna try.
The Organization may or may not know who you are, but they damn well know who I am.
One rebel cop declares war on the Organization. He's out to get the men who run everything.
Take the doctor's pill. Let a friend put you in. Take the blood. You
got it right. She don't need all the gold and the diamonds.
This is crack. Smoking crack.
Crack with me, bro.
This is crack. Smoking crack. It's like putting a gun in your mouth and pulling the trigger.
Boring, right? So boring. I want to kill myself.
This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs.
This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
This is what happens to your brain after snorting heroin.
This is what your family goes through! And your friends!
And your money!
And your drugs! And your sex! And your future!
You killed me.
There was a bomb. I was going to school.
What did that have to do with me?
You brought drugs. Ah!
It isn't glamorous or cool or kid stuff. Look, everybody wants to be cool, but doing it with crack isn't just wrong. It could be dead wrong.
Hey, little dude, send your mama and daddy out of the room. You know who I am. Snake, dealing in weed, coke, crack, your choice. Take one hit and you'll do anything to cop more. Now, some folks will tell you that I'm dealing in poison, but hey, do I look like the kind of guy that would do that to a kid like you? Yes!
I got some stuff you just gotta try.
What is it?
Pop.
What are you, chicken?
What should he do? Kate.
Get a teacher.
Excellent. Get a pizza.
Get real.
I'm not chicken. You're a turkey.
He's right. Drug dealers are dorks. Don't even talk to him.
Cowabunga!
This is the way it's been since she started smoking pot. She's all lazy and boring.
You know a bad idea when you see one. Live above weed. Live above the influence.
Hello, my name's Penny. I think people shouldn't do drugs. They can make you forget things.
Almost 400 years ago, African Americans were brought to this continent in chains. Don't dishonor them by becoming a slave to heroin, cocaine, and crack. Make no mistake, drug abuse is the new slavery.
Being high is a stupid thing to do.
Most of us live in countries with a democratic government. We rely on it to run the country and make the right decisions. But what if the government changed? And the next thing you know, you're living under the rule of a dictatorship. Your life would change dramatically. What would be different? Here's how to survive a dictatorship. First, let's make sure we know the difference between a dictatorship and a democracy. In a democracy, citizens vote for the people they want to lead. This happens in countries like the United States and the United Kingdom. A dictatorship is very different. One person or a small group of people have absolute power over a nation. Two infamous names come to mind from the last century: Hitler and Mussolini. Terror to control their people. If this were to happen to you and your country, it begs the questions. How likely is it that your country could become a dictatorship? What could you do to stop a dictatorship from seizing power? And who could you trust? Step one, speak up. If you think your country could be falling into a dictatorship, make sure you speak up. You'll be running out of time. History shows that dictatorships take over in a snap. Step two, be skeptical. Dictatorships use propaganda. In recent years, we know it as fake news.
It is called fake news.
Don't believe everything you see or hear in the media. Newspapers, TV, and the internet can all be controlled by dictatorships. So think critically and logically. Being skeptical can help you assess the information you hear. And being self-aware is crucial to keeping a balanced view on what is going on. Step three, trust no one. If a dictatorship rules your country, you don't know who you can trust. Your neighbor, your best friend, even your family could be opposed to the dictatorship. Be hopeful, knowing that someone is fighting and you are not alone. Celebrate little things to keep your spirits up. Your culture and traditions are important, so don't forget who you are. You never know what will happen.
The famous fall victim to starvation, radiation sickness, and epidemic diseases. The US attack on Russia has similar consequences. And if NATO is involved, the same fate would await most of Canada and Europe. Let's take a look in more detail at the consequences of a strike on New York with just one Russian thermonuclear warhead that has a yield of 800 kilotons. Remember, the Russian Satan has 10 of them. Let's say the epicenter of the explosion was in Manhattan, in the center of Times Square. During the first second, a fireball with a radius of 1.15 kilometers will cover an area of 4.15 kilometers squared. Everything inside the fireball will instantly evaporate. And by looking at this photo taken in Hiroshima, you can see what would happen to people. This isn't a drawing. It's a photo of all that's left of an old man with a cane. The nuclear blast from the Hiroshima bomb was so powerful that objects and people in its path left behind black shadows. The intense heat and light bleached the concrete around the shadow. But people who would find themselves in this fiery circle would be still lucky. They would perish without feeling any pain. It would happen faster than electrical signals travel through the nerves to the brain. Following the light wave, there'll be a supersonic shockwave. Within a radius of 2.02 kilometers or an area of 12.8 kilometers squared, the overpressure will be 20 pounds per square inch. Under such pressure, heavy concrete buildings are seriously damaged or destroyed, and the mortality rate is nearly 100%. In a radius of 4.71 kilometers or an area of 69.6 kilometers squared, the overpressure will be 5 pounds per square inch.
This pressure is enough to collapse most buildings.
The height of the layer of debris will reach 10 meters, burying tens of thousands of unfortunate people under it. So, passing away immediately will be huge luck. There'll be fires in many places too. Then people within a radius of 9.7 kilometers or an area of 296 kilometers squared will receive burns of the third degree from thermal radiation. In a radius of 10.9 kilometers, an area of 375 kilometers squared, damage to the lungs from overpressure will occur. And let's not forget about the invisible and silent killer, radiation. Within a radius of 2.43 kilometers, an area of 18.6 square kilometers, the dose of ionizing radiation will be at least 500 rem.
What on?
10 to 1.
Well, I bet I can smash your nose. Oh, dear.
My turn.
Is his wife?
Hey, now wait. My turn.
Here.
Come on.
Nein. Lori, ist jemand in Besuch gefasst?
Und da ist jemand tot.
Nein, Lori.
Alle müssen irgendwann mal sterben.
Ich weiß, aber erst nach einem langen, langen Leben.
Ist sie tot? Alle müssen irgendwann mal sterben.
Und jetzt sagen wir alle zusammen, guten Morgen.
Guten Morgen.
Erst willst du, dass ich herkomme, dann klemmst du Pfeife den Schwanz an. Du wolltest doch mit meinen Jungs abrechnen. Nun sind wir da und du hast das Höschen voll.
It is estimated that this year a minimum of 12 million young people in the United States will turn on, use marijuana for the first time. Some, as shown, will be infants, given the drug by their dope-taking parents. Others will get it in grammar school, often from older brothers or sisters. Many junior high school students will have smoked marijuana before they go on their first dates. Marijuana is a social disease, mainly affecting our youth. If no remedy is found, half of our young people may be so crippled by drug abuse within the next few years that they will never be able to function as effective members of society. Please reflect on that statement, because none of us can truly comprehend such a disaster. You might find. The insidious thing about marijuana is that the first time a youngster uses it, he may not experience much effect from the drug itself. Intoxication may be in the mind only because marijuana is cumulative. It builds up in the body, requiring up to 3 or even 6 exposures to the drug before full euphoria is felt.
This cumulative effect has fooled many students and even so-called authorities who have tried the drug once or twice, found little effect, and reported it harmless. An illuminating example of such misleading research is given by Dr. William Lamers, a psychiatrist who personally experimented with marijuana and declared it to be a pleasant little drug, a mild sedative, slightly stimulating. However, a later encounter with a more potent brand of marijuana took Dr. Lamers through a terrifying 3 hours in which he thought someone was going to kill him. He experienced suicidal tendencies. A plane overhead signaled the start of World War III, Doomsday. Since that time, Dr. Lamers has treated as many as 8 people in 1 week for psychotic reactions to marijuana. He says that people who suggest legalizing marijuana simply don't know what they're talking about. There are 3 major interlocking factors that one must consider before evaluating any report on marijuana. Scientists call these factors the drug, the set, and the setting. The effects of marijuana on the smoker are difficult to describe or predict. They vary from person to person and even with the same person at different times. This variation occurs because the amount of cannabis, the intoxicant in marijuana, varies as to where it is grown and how it is cultivated, harvested, rolled, and smoked. This is the factor called the drug. The second factor, the set, is a user's expectations from the drug. When a person expects something to happen, he becomes set or psychologically ready for that thing to happen. And with drugs, this may actually help to cause the very effect which he expects. The setting is the environment in which the drug is used. Because of the interaction of these factors, a participant at a pot party is almost certain to obtain far greater effect from a joint of marijuana than would a skeptic in a laboratory test. Another factor is that these experiments have been conducted on adults, not children. Most young people are firmly convinced that marijuana is not very dangerous and definitely is not habit-forming. They have not been told by the news media that countries like Egypt, with extensive marijuana experience, impose the death penalty for growth or sale of marijuana. Nor that in Morocco, 25% of male admissions to mental hospitals were for marijuana-induced psychoses. Nor that a 1964 UN bulletin characterized such psychoses as hallucinations, paranoia, and thought disorder similar to schizophrenia. The half-truth that marijuana is not physically addictive easily becomes the big lie that it is not habit-forming. Drugs may be habit-forming by either physical or psychological dependency. Heroin, shown here, causes both, for the body becomes extremely ill upon cold turkey withdrawal, and the mind continues to demand the drug-induced euphoria long after the physical symptoms have subsided. Psychological dependency is by far the more important, as is obvious from the fact that over 90% of cured heroin addicts return to drug abuse, and they will lie, steal, cheat, and even kill to continue their drug euphoria. Marijuana apparently does not cause any physical dependency. In fact, it doesn't even leave a hangover, but it does cause a strong psychological dependency. And even worse, it has a strong tendency to escalate to more powerful narcotics. It has been found that over 90% of heroin users started with marijuana. And the New York Social Services estimate that 40 to 50% of all teenage marijuana smokers will be on heroin within 18 months. There is no chemical explanation for the escalation to stronger narcotics, but there are psychological, sociological, and sexual explanations. The eminent professor, Hardin B. Jones, of Donner Lab at the University of California, best explains this. Most...
the guts to stand up to a loner who has to do it his way, whose badge is the target for every crook in town, big or small.
A narcotic squad officer.
Corruption.
Hey, look, we're in the police force, too. Honey with a truck.
cop on his own. A cop who is always on target. Before he's through, a lot of pure white snow is going to be bright blood red.
This man has $6 million worth of heroin. It belongs to the mob, and all it will cost him is his life.
Made by Rockwell, Hellfire weighs a little more than 100 pounds and homes on laser light reflected from the target. The laser light originates from a laser designator used by frontline troops or by the laser of the Apache itself. A version of Hellfire is also being developed with imaging infrared or combined infrared and radar homing. The Hellfire can be carried by the Marine Corps EH-1 Cobra. Hellfire can also be carried on the UH-60SA Blackhawk, with up to 16 loaded onto the external storage support system.
Da ja sehr hoch liegt, dauert es einige Sekunden, bis sie explodiert. Aber dann sehen wir zum ersten Mal auf unserer Erde die geheimnisvollen Bewohner eines fremden Planeten.
Schütze bringen Sie in Stellung in der Schwarzluft.
Ja, Sir.
Sie gehen mit Ihrer Batterie in Stellung. Sollten Sie bei Tagesanbruch feststellen, dass Sie zu wenig Deckung haben, müssen Sie die Batterie zurückverlegen. Ich wünsche Ihnen Glück. Danke, haben Sie noch weitere Befehle? Nein, Sie können gehen.
Oberst Heldner,
ja? Die Panzerabteilung? Ja, gut. Gehen Sie sofort am Berg Turi in Stellung. Wenn der Feind in Sicht ist, greifen Sie sofort an. Nummer 7, verstehen Sie mich? Gut. Ende. Ein Munitionswagen ist ausgefallen. Untersuchen Sie die Sache und machen Sie uns sofort Meldung. 1,223... Hier ist das eine und da das andere Raumschiff. 1,2, unser Gefechtsstand liegt dazwischen.
3. Unsere Stadt auch, Oberst Heffner.
Sie müssen darauf gefasst sein, dass sie evakuiert wird.
Ja, ich weiß. Ich habe die Bevölkerung bereits verständigt.
Achtung! Guten Abend, mein Herr. General Mann leitet den Geheimdienst. Das sind also die beiden Raumschiffe.
Ihre Truppen haben Sie demnach eingekreist. Sie haben doch gar keine Funkverbindung. Wie verständigen Sie sich denn dann mit den einzelnen Einheiten?
Durch unsere Feldtelefone. Die sind vorläufig noch in Ordnung, Sir.
Bei New Beach ist ein drittes Raumschiff gelandet. Und das ist Sache der Marine.
Haben Sie sonst noch Berichte?
Washington ist in ständiger Verbindung mit allen anderen Nationen. Diese Raumschiffe werden überall beobachtet. In Südamerika sind zwei gelandet.
Ja, en dan zakt gelijk de moed in mijn schoenen. Dat is natuurlijk... Maar dit is, laat ik je dit zeggen. Ik bedoel, want je hebt, ik vind het van zoveel lef...